Excuse me, is this the point of Loma SDA Church? Is this the point of Loma SDA Church here? I hope I'm in the right place. The point of Loma. Somebody answer. Jean, is this point? Thank you. I'm in the right place. Point of Loma SDA Church. What an interesting name. Point of Loma. Is it Point of Loma or Point Loma? What a journey I've been on to just come here this morning and worship with you. I heard you singing from a distance. My ship was put in harbor down here, not far from here, and I had to walk, and what a journey that was. I have been shipwrecked many times. I have been whipped and imprisoned many times. I have been abused in so many different ways, but it was absolutely the worst thing trying to get here this morning. The traffic was terrible. And all these people with their dogs barking at me as if I'm dressed strangely. What's wrong? I'm dressed quite normally, I think. Oh, let me introduce myself. I'm the Apostle Paul. Your pastor asked me this morning to come and to kind of summarize the book of Galatians, which of course you know I wrote. Some of you have a copy of it in your hands. Amazing that you have those already. But the trip here was beautiful as I sailed over and we put into the harbor down here in San Diego. Is it San Diego? San Diego? San Diego. I don't know that language. But anyways, and as I said, coming over here to the church was the hardest. But I found my way here because I heard a beautiful song. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And I thought to myself, that must be the point of Loma SDA Church. Church, I understand. Church, I understand. What is the SDA? Could somebody help me with the SDA part of it? SDA Church. In my day, we were all called Christians. And we worshiped in homes. We didn't have beautiful temples like you have here. This is beautiful. Gorgeous temple. Well, let me just say, I'm so pleased to be here this morning. I want to thank the pastor for letting me come this morning and just share with you the final closing words of the book of Galatians. As you know, the book of Galatians was a response to a problem in the church of Galatia. You see, in the church of Galatia was one of the churches that I raised up in early on in my ministry. There were people who had come from Jerusalem, and they were beginning to teach a false gospel. Oh, they came claiming that they were Christians. They came with what they said was the authority of the church of Jerusalem, but they came teaching that you have to be circumcised and you have to follow all of the holy days in order to be a Christian. But you see, that was not true. The gospel of Jesus Christ was a gospel that sets us free from the legalism of the law. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel that teaches us how to live in harmony and with love and kindness towards our fellow brothers and sisters. It teaches us not to look at others for our example, but to look at Jesus Christ for our example. And so, yes, I'm sorry that I had to be a little rough on them. I felt as their pastor, it was part of my duty to make sure that they kept their feet on the path that was set before them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are set free. We are righteous only by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, when I think of how it started in my life, I remember well. I have not forgotten what had happened to me. I was riding on a horse. I was on my way to Damascus. And as I was riding along on the way to Damascus, suddenly this bright light shone down and I was knocked off my horse. And as I was kneeling there on the road to Damascus, I saw the very presence of God open up before me. And there I saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, standing before me. And He said to me, Saul, for that was my Pharisaical name, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And I said, Lord, how can that be? I am doing the right things. I have always done the right things. I have always followed the law. I have always made sure that I followed every single jot, every dot, everything in the law. And yet you say, why do you persecute me? You see, it was there that I met my risen Lord. Jesus, the Son of God, that was foretold in the Old Testament. The Messiah, the promised Messiah, would come to this earth and he would die on a cross so that I could have eternal life. So that my sins could be forgiven. I'll never forget that experience. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the very center. It is the keystone. It is the very foundation of salvation for mankind. And so, over the years, as I have pastored in many different churches, I have had to learn that it's so easy for us as human beings to stray away from the simplicity of the gospel. And I understand that this book that you call the Word of God actually has the book of Galatians that I wrote in it. And I think most of you have a copy of this. This is wonderful. In my day, we only had a few scrolls and a few copies of the letters that we passed around, but now you have it all in one big scroll, and that is wonderful. Turn, if you will, to, I believe, yes, it's the book of Galatians. And it's the last two chapters that your pastor asked me to comment upon. For you see, we have in this world a war that is going on right inside of our own hearts. The war between whether we will follow our own nature, our own human nature, which of course is sinful, or whether we will follow the Spirit. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, I begin with the words, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Freedom. What a word. Have you ever felt as though you were locked into something that you couldn't escape? As though you were bound with chains and you could not move from that spot. Have you ever felt as though there were things in your life that had such a grasp on you that you would never ever get away from them? Have you ever experienced that? Well, the good news is that in Christ Jesus, all of us are set free from those things that bind us. Those little sins that we cherish, those habits that we form, the sadness in our lives, the hopelessness in our lives, the despair in our lives. Jesus has come to set us free. That's good news. Are you in the custom of saying amen or hallelujah in this church? SDA. Somebody has to tell me what that means. But I know that you love the Lord. I know that you love Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I know that you believe in His Father, God. And I know that you believe in the power of His Holy Spirit. Because as I was coming, as I said earlier, I was coming up the road trying to find Valletta Street. Is it Valletta? Valletta? Anyway, I just followed my ears. I followed the Spirit. Because I knew that God's presence was here this morning. I wanted to be here. And so, here in the book of Galatians, I've tried to lay out for you this battle that goes on. And how easy it is for someone to distract us, to cut in on us, to lead us astray from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you notice in chapter 5. By the way, chapters and verses, I don't understand this, chapters and verses, but I will try to use them. You know I wrote these letters. I didn't put chapters and verses in them. I was informed that that was somebody later on by the name of Justin Martyr. God bless his heart. he and I will have to speak about this in the kingdom. Who writes a letter and puts chapters and verses in it? But it's for your good. Because my letters sometimes are very long and drawn out. So it's good. We have that. Chapter 5, verse 14. And what does it say? The entire law is summed up in what? What is that word? Love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, if you keep on biting and fighting, if you keep on trying to set yourself up as an example for other Christians, if you constantly are picking on each other, guess what's going to happen? It's going to destroy you internally. Satan won't have to do anything. He doesn't need to do anything. As long as he has us in disunity and turmoil. As long as he gets us to gossip and to fight. That's just a side note. Because really, the law can be summed up. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, what I want to say this morning is that as Christians, as followers of Christ, we must live by the Spirit. You see, while we were yet under the law, while we were yet uninformed about the law, we were living in sin, and we were driven by our own sinful nature. Isn't that right? I don't need to give you a list of all the things that we do when we're living in the flesh, when we're living in the sinful nature. The list goes on and on and on. We all know in our hearts. But when we live in the Spirit, something changes. We're no longer looking at other people. We're no longer picking other people apart. But rather, we begin to show the fruits of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as the Spirit leads us, these fruits begin to show in our lives. And the list, I put a small list. It's not much of a list. The list is very long. But I put down here the spirit of love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Yes, and self-control. I know about self-control. Yes. You don't have to dig very deep in my writings to know that I am a man of passion. A man that gets excited easily. A man that at times has to go and apologize because of things I may have said. Well, you know the story. Just read how, well, Barnabas and I kind of had a problem. And Peter and I, well, we had one too. You see, it doesn't mean that just because you're a Christian that you're not going to have your differences. The good news is that when you're a Christian, you can somehow work through those differences. And that's what we call unity. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, our hearts are convicted. We are, rather than drawn apart, we are drawn together in unity. And so the fruits of that are, of course, being led by the Spirit are peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. It's what I call keeping in step with the Spirit. Each step of the way, as we journey along this life, as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Spirit works in our hearts, we begin to keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, there are times that we want to stray away. There are times that we're led away. There are times that we trip and fall. But then we get up again. We get up because Jesus forgives us and cares about us. We get up again because we know that we are forgiven and we know that there's hope. We know that our righteousness does not come from the things that we do, but our righteousness comes from what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross. He forgave our sins. He carried the burden of our sins, and He died on the cross. And His righteousness then becomes our righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? It's just like this robe that I'm wearing here. It covers. By the way, I would have come sooner, probably several weeks ago. Maybe your pastor told you already, but I didn't have a nice new robe to wear. The inner robe, the white robe. I didn't have one, and I had to ask Dorcas to make it for me. And she took a little longer than I expected, because my old robe was so torn and tattered from all the journeys I'd been on. I was ashamed to wear it. So now I have a nice new robe. Don't you like that? You can thank my wife's friend for that. But it's just like Christ's righteousness covers all the sin in our lives, all the darkness, and He covers us with His righteousness because we are so unclean and so impure. Unworthy. Unworthy. But Christ makes us worthy. He is the righteous one. Oh, by the way, you're righteous not by trying, not by struggling, not by clamoring or clawing, not by picking on other people, but you are righteous by faith. Do you like that word? The Bible tells us that Abraham, his was accounted, his faith, it was by faith that he was righteous. By faith. By the way, I point out something. The chronology of the giving of the Ten Commandments. Abraham, the covenant that God made with Abraham was before Mount Sinai. Before the law was actually written. Abraham was a righteous man even before he knew the law. Didn't even know it existed. But he was righteous not by what he did, but he was righteous because he had faith. He had faith. Well, what can I say? I am near the end of my usefulness in the church. I'm an old man now, you know. I'm kind of worn out. If I ever had another shipwreck, that'd be the last one probably. I can't swim very good. Just one thing I will say. Even though I started my life as a legalistic Pharisee, and even though I've thought that I was always doing things right, which, you know, just by nature, my personality, I don't think any of you can probably relate to that, but some of us are just, you know, we got to make sure it's done right. It's got to be perfect, you know? We want everything to fit in its place. And we want a list of things to follow because that makes life easy. Even in spite of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my salvation, I have to admit that there are times in my life when I went back to my old ways and tried to do it my way. Now, any of you have a struggle with that? Even as Christians, we struggle with wanting to do it our way. Even though at times I have tried to do it my way, even though I have tried to wrestle and struggle for my salvation, I'm constantly reminded of that day there in Damascus, on the road to Damascus, when I met my Lord and Savior. And that blinding light that struck me down off of my horse, and I saw there the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I looked into His face, I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I needed salvation through Jesus Christ. And anytime I feel as though I'm better than another brother or sister, I'm always reminded. I'm always reminded of the time when in my perfection, I saw Jesus and realized the depth of my sin. And I cried out to Him, Lord Jesus, save me. And so I will never boast. I'm an old man now. Young men have so much to boast about, but old men, I will never boast in anything except in the cross of Jesus Christ. For it is in the cross that I found total freedom. It was in the cross that I found hope. It was in the cross that I found eternal life. It was on the cross that I found my personal Savior and my friend for eternity. I invite you, if you've never found the Christ that I know, even if you're a Christian, even if you think you're doing it all right, trust me, you still need Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can offer you eternal life. He is the only one that I want to see more than anyone else. I want to see Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Let me pray for you this morning. Eternal God and Father, Creator of the universe, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, Holy Spirit, convictor of my soul, this morning I bring before you the Christian church members of the Point Loma Seventh-day Adventist Church. Lord, like many other congregations and churches down through history, we all have our unique needs, our unique struggles. And yet, Lord, maybe they're not so unique because we're all human and we all know we need a Savior. We're all sinful and we all need You. Come into this place, O God, through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Touch the lives of each individual person. And draw them close to You and close to each other. And Lord, we look forward to that day when You will come in the clouds of heaven. You'll take us all home. We long to be with You, but we are here. Save us, O God. Redeem us through the blood of Jesus Christ is our prayer in Your name.